Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I'm going to look at one verse today, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Viktor Frankl, the Jewish psychologist who was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp, wrote these words. He said, "They've stripped me naked. They took everything, my wedding ring, my watch, and I stood there naked, and all of a sudden I realized at that moment that although they could take everything away from me, my wife, my family, my possessions, they could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond." As I read those words this week, I thought again about Hurricane Harvey and how things have been taken from us, things have been changed, and all that can happen, but no one can take away, as followers of Christ, our ability to choose gratitude. As we work our way through this month now, as depression and anxiety and even anger has begun to set in with many of us, I think we need to be reminded of this fact that we can make a choice, as some of you already shared in your testimony this morning, to choose gratitude. Look at this verse again, verse 18. "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That was one part of what we looked at last Sunday morning, so I've been focusing on that this week, and I've shared with our folks as we've gone through these weeks since we came back from some of us who were wise and evacuated. Just going to slide that in there. As we came back, I've just been praying, "God, what would you have me to share with this congregation?" And he's walked me through some things. And last week, it's like God said, "This is it, Kevin. This is your theme. This is what we need to talk about. This is what we need to emphasize from now on until I tell you to change." And it is to be grateful. To be grateful in everything. In other words, how you view life. In everything. Your view of life should be a view that says, "I will be grateful." In my study, I've come across a book by Nancy Lee DeMoss about gratitude. And in it, she lists 8 reasons to choose gratitude. And I'm going to share those 8 with you today and make some application to our lives today. So if you would just stay with me as we walk through these 8 reasons to choose gratitude. Number 1, gratitude is a matter of obedience. Gratitude is a matter of obedience. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Some of my favorite verses in Scripture. There's a reason. Gratitude is a matter of obedience. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. "Don't worry about anything." Some translations say, "Don't be anxious." I like "don't worry." "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses every thought will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now let me tell you, God gave me that verse a couple of years ago when I was going through some anxiety, and I focused on the fact that I'm not to be anxious, I'm not to worry, but in everything, through prayer and petition, I'm to go before God. And I missed the heart of that. The prayer and the petition, which is just another way of saying prayer, the prayer has to be with thanksgiving. As I go to God and ask God to get me through this, whatever I'm in, whether it's the hurricane recovery or a struggle or relationship issue or financial issue, as I'm asking God to get me through that, it has to be with gratitude, with thanksgiving. That is a recurring theme in Paul's writings. Much of our New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul, and I'm just as I've studied this week, been amazed at how often this guy who went through a lot, we're not going to spend time today on that, but look at his testimony in the book of Acts and in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, how he went through all kinds of terrible things for the cause of Christ. The theme of his writing seems to be gratitude. In Colossians, he says that there's this desire that they should be overflowing with joy in Colossians 2:7. In Colossians 4:2, he says you need to devote yourselves in prayer and stay alert with thanksgiving. In Colossians 3:17, I love this. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Isn't that great? Whatever you do. He's not just saying your thought life. He's saying everything about your life is to be in obedience, gratitude to God. As I look at the Psalms, throughout the Psalms, in Psalm 50, we're told to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's to be something that costs us as we give it to God. Psalm 105, Psalm 107, all through the Psalms, give thanks. It's a command from Scripture that we're to be grateful, that we're to be thankful. And it's not just a platitude. It's not just something God threw in there. It is the heart of understanding how joy can be a part of the Christian life. In James chapter 1, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Anything good that happens in our life is a gift from God. And we're to choose to be grateful for it. Oswald Chambers said it this way: one thing that awakens the deepest well of gratitude in a human being is the fact that he has been forgiven by God. The choir just sang about it. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, and some of us have experienced it getting pretty bad, right? Doesn't matter what we lose. Nothing can take away from the incredible sense of awe and gratitude we should have that we've been forgiven by God. If we never had him do another thing in our life for us, every breath of our life should be in praise and gratitude for our salvation. It's so important that we acknowledge God as the ultimate giver of every good gift. I've shared this story before, but it was such an eye-opening moment for me. I was watching one of those X Games, BMX performances, and skateboarders, and this skateboarder had done this incredible run and gotten all these great high scores, and he was walking away, and they interviewed him after that, and the interviewer said this: what were you thinking after you did that incredible performance and got those high scores? This is what the guy said: well, I was thanking myself for what I did. I told Cameron, did you hear what that guy told my son? Did you hear what that guy just said? He's thanking himself that he has the ability to do that. Is that ridiculous? I watch and listen and read about people in the entertainment industry, and they're all thanking the universe. They're praying to the universe. You know why they're doing that? Because God has put within all of us this desire to connect with him. And when they're grateful, they don't know what to do with that. The Bible does. The Bible says every good gift comes from God. You want to thank someone, thank him. Not just I'm thankful, I'm grateful. Don't just put it out there in the universe. Johnny Erickson Tata, incredible testimony. You've got to read her story if you haven't read it. She's a quadriplegic due to a diving accident when she was young. She spent all her life, just all her adult life, paralyzed. And she says, I have just disciplined myself for so many years to give thanks in all things that it's become my reflex action, reaction. Here's what she says: I have learned to give thanks in everything all the time, so it's the automatic reflex of my life. When something happens, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Gratitude is a matter of obedience. One of the reasons why I passed out the 30-day journal of gratitude, and there's still more blank ones out there if you need one. Several people have taken them to family members. And let me encourage you to do that, because it begins to build this habit. What did Emerson say? If you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character, and ultimately sow a character, you reap a destiny. What he's saying is the truth that we know. If you do something long enough, it will build something in you. 30 days of stopping and pausing and writing down something I'm thankful for. It will build a habit in you of looking to God for things you can be thankful for. Does that make sense? Many of you are doing it different. Everybody's doing something different, I found out as I've talked to some of you. But I'm writing, God, I first of all, I'm saying I am thankful for, I'm grateful for at the top of my page. And then I'm writing my prayer of response to that in my journal. And it's been exciting that I can say, God, you're the one that's called me to give thanks. You're the one that said, be obedient and give me thanks. I could park on that one, but I better not. I think I already did, right? Number two, gratitude draws us close to God. Gratitude draws us close to God. We're told to draw close to God. And it's not a threat. You better draw close to me. It's an invitation. God is saying, I want you to draw near me. The psalmist said this, you are holy in Psalm 22, verse 3. You inhabit the praises of your people of Israel. God, you inhabit the praises of your people. You dwell in the midst of praise. You know what praise is? It's giving thanks and gratitude to God for who he is and what he's done. Someone said, that's God's address, Psalm 22, 3. I like what Damas says. She says, praise or gratitude puts us in God's living room. I like that. You want to draw close to God. You wonder why God has become so distant. We said last week, it's not because he's moved, it's because you've moved. And you want to get closer? Reconcile with him if there's any sin in your life, get that right. But develop a heart of gratitude because that's what opens the door. That's what draws you into his presence. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 104? Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And enter his courts with what? Praise. It's worded a little differently in Psalm 95, verse 2. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. You want to draw close to God, develop a heart of gratitude. Remember the picture in the Old Testament of the tabernacle, and there was the outer court and the inner court, and then you have the holy place where there were the tables, and the priests would come in there and burn the candles and the incense and the table of showbread. And then there was a veil in the Holy of Holies, and that's where the presence of God was, and that's where the high priest would meet with God once a year at the Day of Atonement. And that in that holy place, the incense was burning perpetually. You know what it was a picture of? It was a picture of thanksgiving. It was a picture of gratitude of the people of God that incense burned up to God all the time to say, God, we bless you. Here's the picture. Before I go into the holy place, before I go into the presence of God, I've got to go through this place where I'm reminded to be thankful. The people of Israel had throughout their calendar special days to celebrate. And you know what most of those were about? They were about giving thanks, about being grateful for God's gracious mercy on them. So gratitude draws us closer to God. It's a matter of obedience. Number three, gratitude is a sure path to peace. A sure path to peace. We read it a moment ago. In verse 7, well, I'm going to read both of the verses in Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer with petition, in petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God, known to him. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You struggle, there's peace in coming before God with gratitude. Beth Moore has written a statement of how most people approach anxiety and worry. And she says, this is the way they approach that passage. Do not be calm about anything. It's the opposite, right? But in everything, by dwelling on it constantly and feeling picked on by God with thoughts like, and this is what I get, present your aggravations to everyone you know except him. And the acid in your stomach, which transcends all milk products, will cause you an ulcer. And the doctor bills will cause you a heart attack and you will lose your mind. Now that's kind of a funny approach to that, but that's how some of us live. I'm uneasy, so I'm going to complain to everybody else instead of going to God and say, God, I need to have a heart of gratitude. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief, the enemy, Satan, comes to steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to take whatever's going on in your life and use it to mess everything up in your thought life. What kind of things steal your peace? An unhappy marriage? Rebellious kids? Medical bills? Medical test results? Personal finances? Church finances? How about damaged property? How about being relocated? Insurance company hassles? Government bureaucracy, disturbing your well-set normal routine, and the list could go on and on and on. If you could say those things steal your joy and your peace, I want you to go to John 10:10. The enemy is stealing your joy and your peace. Because gratitude is the only way to have this, to be into the presence of God and to be at peace. Peace is not a beach house. Some of you have gone to your house on the water. It's not too peaceful. Peace is not a retreat to the mountains. Peace is not a place you go. Peace is part of your relationship with your Father. Number four, gratitude is a gauge of the heart. This is big. Gratitude is a gauge, an indicator, a barometer, a thermometer, whatever word you want to use there, a gauge of the heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 140:13, surely the righteous will praise you and the upright will live in your presence. Can I tell you what he's saying there? Those who are walking in obedience with God, in right relationship with him, it will be a natural byproduct to give thanks, to praise, to be grateful. It's a gauge of your heart. See, when we can give thanks in everything, when we can be grateful in everything, when we can say, God, my heart is saying to you, I thank you, in every circumstance, it demonstrates that you believe God is faithful and trustworthy. We said that last week, that you can trust him. Matthew Henry, I love this story. A scholar who wrote one of the most popular commentaries in Christendom, lived back in the 1600s, I think. It's still popular today. He was meditating on how his wallet was stolen. And this is what he wrote. Let me be thankful first, because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Man, talk about perspective. Talk about an indicator of his heart. My wallet gets stolen. I'm not thinking like that. In everything, it's a gauge of your heart. Now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? We're going to get down, at least for me, the place where God really began to stir my heart. Number five, gratitude is the will of God. It is the will of God. We said that last week. Verse 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Remember to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here's the deal. You want to know the will of God? What's his plan? What happens now after I've lost my home or I've lost my possessions or I have to be? What's his plan? You want to know the will of God? Be thankful. He says it right there. I have to maintain an intimate love relationship with my Heavenly Father. And part of that is to say, God, I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you. You're faithful, and I'm going to be grateful. Well, that'd make a good chorus, wouldn't it? You're faithful, and I'm grateful. So, God, I thank you. Let me tell you something. Because of Hurricane Harvey, many of us have said, okay, God, I'm listening. Could you relate to that? God, you have my attention. You have my attention. I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I really don't want it to go back to normal. I really don't. I am thankful that God has stirred us and shaken us so that we're listening. Because if I need to know what God's will is, not just for my life, but the purpose and plan for God's will, I have to be listening to the heart of God. And gratitude, being grateful, says, I trust you, God, and I'm listening. Number six, gratitude is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Gratitude is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Listen to Ephesians 5:18. Paul is writing, he's given instructions to the church at Ephesus on walking in the Christian life, practical daily Christian living. He said, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's what he's saying. He's saying you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what that text says. You need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he begins to list this. I've never seen this before this way. He talks about speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music from your heart to the Lord. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he speaks of submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And he specifically talks about husbands and wives and children and parents and slaves and masters and submission. But I miss verse 20. Connect verse 18 with verse 20. Be filled with the Spirit. Here's the evidence of it. Giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Evidence of being filled with the Spirit is you will be grateful. You know, God has done a work on me this week in this passage. Because I can be a very critical person. And I have dismissed it as I'm a perfectionist. And I just want things to be right. And I look at things and I see how these things could be better. So I just want to improve them. And God just spoke to me this week and said, Kevin, that's sin. You're complaining. You want to be filled with the Spirit. And I look at these other things and I look at my life and I look at Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did I get them all? I say them real fast in case I miss any. You don't know. I messed it up. I say, yes, Lord, I think I have that. But then I zero in on this. Giving thanks in everything, for everything. It's interesting. Paul writes here, give thanks for everything. This is evidence that you're being filled with the Spirit. Okay, this is the statement that hit me in the head like a 2x4. Y'all know those experiences? I cannot whine and complain and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. Remember I said these sermons are for me? God's been dealing with me, but I want to just share with you. We cannot whine and complain and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. We have to, in essence, say, okay, Lord, this area of my life, I'm going to set aside because I got some stuff I need to gripe about. Do you know how FEMA treated me? Do you know how TWIA, I never knew what TWIA was. Do you know how they treated me? Do you know how this happened? Do you know how that happened? No. If I'm going to say I'm filled with the Spirit of God is going to have every area of my life. It's going to be submitted to His control. Jesus said in Matthew 15, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. But He said it this way, what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart. If I'm critical, if I'm complaining, if I'm whining, I'm not being filled with the Spirit. What would happen in our community, in our church, if our gratitude for who God is and what He's done eclipsed all the stuff that's happening? What would happen? If the predominant characteristic trait of the people of God was, God, you are good, we're trusting you, and we're grateful in the midst of all this, what would happen? Don't let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy. Don't let him cause you to compartmentalize your life and say, well, I'm spiritual and everything else. But right over here, man, that just chaps me. That just irritates me. Number 7. I am ready to move on to number 7. Because God and I spent a whole lot of time this week on number 6. Number 7. Gratitude reflects the heart of Jesus. Gratitude reflects the heart of Jesus. Just a couple of places going through the New Testament. In Mark chapter 8, the feeding of the 4,000. The Bible says that He took the 7 loaves and He gave thanks. And then He took the few small fish and He gave thanks. He blessed them. When Jesus was doing ministry, he gave thanks. At the tomb of Lazarus, as he was raising Lazarus from the dead, the Bible says he looked to heaven and he gave thanks. If that isn't enough, as you work your way through the Passion Week, through the end of his life, in the end of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you come to the end, especially in the Gospel of Luke, it's described at the Last Supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. He took the bread and he gave thanks. So listen, let that one sink in. He's not just thanking God for the meal. He was, because that was the habit at the Passover. You gave God thanks for that. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, God, I thank you that in just a little while, my blood is going to be shed for the sins of mankind. And I thank you for the cup that represents that. God, I take this bread and I give thanks for it because in just a little while, my body is going to be sacrificed, broken, so that people can be saved. He's saying, God, I thank you that I'm about to go through suffering so that I can fulfill my purpose and your plan for mankind. That's a heart of gratitude. When I am grateful, I'm reflecting the heart of Jesus. He willingly, gratefully gave himself for us. And he was thankful for the privilege to do it. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. The Bible says no one took his life. He laid it down. He willingly said to the Father, thank you that I can give my life as a ransom, as a price to pay for the sins of mankind. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want you to know he willingly gave his life for you. And he wants you to respond by faith and obedience and say, Lord, I believe you died for me in the person of Christ, and I receive you by faith. Forgive me of my sins. Take control of my life. That's what it means to be a believer. That's how the heart of Jesus is reflected. And number 8, gratitude gets us ready for heaven. In the book of Revelation, there's descriptions throughout that book of heaven. And whether you're talking about the 24 elders or the four creatures or the multitude, you know what the Bible says? Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Remember Isaiah's vision of the temple, of the Lord seated on his throne in Isaiah chapter 6? That's what they were singing, holy, holy, holy. You know what that is? That's praise, that's gratitude, that's thanksgiving. This is what we will do for eternity. That's not all we'll do. I still don't understand everything we'll do, but part of what we will do will be giving God thanks for eternity. So today is heaven practice. Give God gratitude, thanksgiving for who he is, for what he's done. Someone said, this is like a dress rehearsal, getting ready for the real deal. Over the years, as we've done choir programs and Christmas programs and Easter programs, we've had dress rehearsals. Maybe you've done some of those in school. And then what they say to you is, you need to treat this like it's the real thing, but it's not going to be because it's a dress rehearsal. But you try to do everything at the dress rehearsal like you're going to do it on the performance, right? That it hasn't always worked for us, but we try, right? Here's what God says. This is a dress rehearsal. In essence, God is saying to us, this is a dress rehearsal. Do it as best you can because the real thing is coming. Practice gratitude. It reflects the heart of Jesus. It's the pathway into his peace and his presence. It helps us discern what the will of God is. I can whine or I can worship. I cannot worship without giving thanks. I cannot say, God, I love you, I thank you for who you are and what you've done, without a heart of gratitude. I can't whine and worship at the same time. We were having dinner with one of our church family this week, and we were talking about Thanksgiving, sharing gratitude, and they told us about a seminar. I think Jack Canfield led the seminar or conducted the seminars, and the guy that did the chicken soup for the soul. And he told them to go out and do a rampage of gratitude. And here's what they said. Take that table and give thanks for the table. and then give thanks for the craftsmen that crafted the table and the engineers that designed the table, and give thanks for the nails that hold the table together. Maybe give thanks for the miners that mine the ore to make the nails to hold the table together. And he just goes on and on and on. And he challenged them to go through the room and approach everything that way. I would add to that, give thanks to God for all those things. Can you look at your life as you go through your 30-day journal, and like Kelly was saying, it may be a very little thing or maybe a major thing, and say, God, you're in that, and I give you thanks for that. In everything, or as Paul says here in Ephesians 5, for everything, give him thanks. Could we have an attitude of gratitude as we work our way through this next 30 days of whatever God has in store for us? That's my prayer. Let's pray.